तब कथामृतम ताप्त जीवनम कवि विरीडितम कल्मषापहम श्रवणमंगलम श्रीमदाततम भुवि गृह्णन्ति भुरिदा जनाः. The nectar of the worlds is the life for those who are scorched by the world. The words which have been uttered by the knowers of truth, which wipe out sins, the very hearing of which is beneficial, which are beautiful, pleasing to the ears, pleasing to the hearts, which are inexhaustible. Those who recount them on the earth are the givers of plenty. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, 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 Ventur. This evening our topic is Gems from the Garden of Saints, Part 2. We started this series of talk about the Swamis I met, and I learned so many things from them. So I decided to share some of those things with you. You will have to forgive my ego. There is a famous saying of Tulasidasa, Bandau Santa Santa Charana. I bow down to the holy, I bow down to the wicked. I bow down both. Why? Because both give me pain. When a wicked person comes near me, I get pain. And when a holy person leaves me, goes away from me, I get pain. So I salute both. That is a famous saying of Tulasidas. Tonight I shall first start with Swami Shraddhananda ji, who was a disciple of Swami Shivananda and the editor of Udbodhan magazine. Then he came to America in 1957. He was the head of the Sacramento Center, died in 1996. When I was 14 years old, I used to visit mother's house, serve the monks, clean the monastery. And he came as an editor in 1951. And when I used to go to bow down to him, he won't let me go inside his room. His room is locked. Door is open, but there is a half door with, there he used to lock it so that nobody should go inside and disturb his writing. So when I used to go, so he used to come out from his chair and sat from below. I used to, then he used to tell me that you come and bow down and go away. Always learn something new. Young man, stand here and memorize this portion of the Upanishad. He will give the Upanishad. I'll have to stand there and memorize. And he will go on writing his own things. So I still remember what I memorized in 1951. Raso vaisaha, raso hivayam labdhvanandi bhavati, kohe vainnat, ka prainnat, yadishva kashvanandanasyat. It is from Tritiri Upanishad. Raso vaisa, rasa, juice, felicity. Brahman God is full of juice, full of felicity, full of bliss. Kohe vainnat ka prainnat, who could inhale, who could exhale if this blissful self was not behind? So I had to stand and memorize. Then he said, now you can go. Good task, master. He used to tell many wonderful stories. I remember when I was in Hollywood, I was translating Sermon on the Mount according to Vedanta into Bengali. Vedantera aloke Krishte Shoilopadesh. I had a desire to translate these books because that type of book is not available in our language. So one day, by the by, I told Swami Prabhupananda, the author of the book, Maharaj, this book should come to our in our language. You translate it. So I translated, and Swami Shraddhananda ji was the editor. I bought a Bengali translation from the Bible Society from Chaurangi in Calcutta. I read Bengali, I do not understand Bengali. That translation was done by missionary people in 18th century. Old Bengali. What did they do? Do you know? They took the English word and put it in the dictionary and put the Bengali word. Dictionary, Bengali word. It does not connect. For example, Jishu bolilen tumi tomar pratibeshi ke prem karo. We never speak that way. Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. The way it has been translated, it is ridiculous. We smile when I read that book. So I decided first that I must translate the biblical portion first. Then I shall translate Swami Prabhupananda's commentary. I did it. I still remember in Trubuko Monastery I used to translate. I spent nearly 300 hours to translate that book. I had a motive. Do you know what was my motive? This book should be published in India and the royalty will go to the training center for the boys who have no money to buy books. Because I had no money to buy books, I wrote all the scriptures by longhand. So to help the future generation, I translated that book. So anyhow, he translated, we had some time to time we had fight. One sentence bothered me. Resist not evil. I translated, Ashubhoke badha diyo na. And if bad things come to your life, do not resist. He said, no, that is not the right translation. I told him, what should be the right translation? Nipidon ke badha diyo na. Nipidon means persecution, torture. If anybody persecutes you, torture you, do not resist. Ashubhoke mane bad things will come to your life, somebody wants to destroy your spiritual life, will you not resist? Did not Christ resist? Get thee behind me, Satan, when 40 years he was doing tapasya in the desert? It makes sense. We had argument. What should be the right sentence translation? So the book has been translated, of course, Swami Prabhupada paid for it. He used to tell me many stories about the Jare disciples. Few I shall tell you. It was in Kashipur Garden House. Sri Ramakrishna was suffering from cancer. It was winter. He could not go to the bathroom. So a commode was brought in his room, and when he used the commode, one night Swami Ramakrishnananda Shoshi carried that commode and cleaned it in the bathroom. So his body, he has only one piece of cloth. Half the cloth around the waist and the other half around the body. It is cold winter, he did not have even a t-shirt. When he was out, he came to the room, he saw Sri Ramakrishna was crawling on the floor and pulling a shawl which was hooked on the wall. Master, you were in cold, you did not tell me. I'm sorry that you had asked me, I would bring that shawl to you. Then Sri Ramakrishna, at that time Sri Ramakrishna even could not stand, could not walk, he was crawling, so weak. Sri Ramakrishna said, this shawl I am not pulling for me, I want to give you. You have no warm clothing. Tears came from my eyes that Sri Ramakrishna's love bought his disciples. He gave the shawl, he never used the shawl. He gave to Swami Brahmananda to use it. He was the spiritual son of Sri Ramakrishna. That story penetrated inside me. How to serve? And what is called love? Another story told me that in Belur Math, one day there was a dinner bell at 9 o'clock. All the disciples in the dining hall, Swamiji did not come. He was absorbed in reading a book. He did not hear the bell at all. Then Swami Brahmananda asked Swami Shubhodananda Khoka Maharaj, who was a very young, "Hey Khoka, please call Swamiji." Khoka Maharaj went. He saw Swamiji was absorbed in his study. Then all of a sudden from the back, Khoka Maharaj closed the book. Then Swamiji looked at him and says, "Shala, rascal, you closed my book. I do not know where I was reading." "Swamiji, don't worry, I checked the page number. I can tell you where you are reading." Then Swamiji came and then he told the brothers, "Well, if the food is getting cold, if you do not come, we cannot eat." Then Swamiji came and ate. And he told the brother disciples, "You send Khoka, because he will not be mad at him, you know. He was so young. So you sent him for the reason." Then, yeah. That showed me that brotherly love. A monastic order or in a family, love acts like a cement, brings connection. Those are stories he used to tell me. Another story he told me, perhaps I told you several times. He, at that time he was in Sacramento, he had an interview with a lady. That lady came and said, "Swami, nobody loves me." So we used to go for walk. There is a Shantodhan. There is a garden, nearly 11 acres land. At the back there are many shrines are there. One shrine was built by Steve. He built Chaitanya's shrine. He was a beautiful artist. He made Chaitanya Jagannatha Swami Naina Patagami Bhavutume. He did it. So we sat near the Krishna pond on two canes here. He was telling, "You know, I was really hurt. An elderly woman came to me and said, Swami, nobody loves me. But I see love is everywhere. Look at that peach tree. All the year round that tree is there. When the season comes, that tree gives the fruits to me. That tree does not eat its own fruit. That tree loves me. In winter, rain, hot summer, that tree is there." In this way he went on and on. Then he said, "You know, when I get up from my bed," he was a little poet by nature, "I go to the bathroom. The toothpaste and brush tell me, 'We love you, brush your teeth.' Then I go to the sink, the water tells me, 'Rinse your mouth, I love you.' Then I put on my clothes, I go to the dining table, the breakfast table, the fruit juice, toast, cereal, coffee, they all tell me that 'We love you, please eat us.'" In this way he went on and on. He says, "But I see love is everywhere. And yet some people say nobody loves me." Then I told him, Then based on that, you know, I gave a lecture. Love is everywhere. That lecture is based on the Shankha philosophy. The Shankha philosophers say, Sanghato Pararta Tvat. All combined objects in this world are not for itself, it is for others. Your beauty is not for itself, it is for others. We enjoy your beauty. The musky, this light is not for itself, it is for me, so that I can read it. This glasses is not for itself, it helps me to read it. So in this way, if you see anything in this world, it is not for itself, it is for others. Show me, what do you mean? It means this prakriti, this nature, whatever you see, is for Purusha, not for itself. Purusha is consciousness. So anyhow, it is a long philosophy, I shall not enter there. Then I shall not be able to come out. We had sometimes competition. When I would go to his place, I used to check what are the books I do not have. He has large collection. And whenever he comes to my room in St. Louis, he will check what are the books he did not have. So we had competition. I shall buy the books which I do not have, and he will buy the books which he did not have. We have a competition. So one day when he came to Hollywood, I saw at 11 o'clock, nearly midnight, he's writing his diary. Then I asked, why are you writing diary? Why? Because the diary tells me the world is not real. Uncle, how? You know, 1 week ago, I had something, I have a deep problem. I was thinking, I was really disturbed 1 week ago. And now I read that entry of my diary and I laugh. Such a silly, insignificant thing, I took it seriously, and what a deep problem I had. So I see how this human mind changes every day. The thing which was very difficult for me 1 week ago, now I laugh at it. I do not think it is serious. So this diary tells me this world is not real. I said, Maharaj, I have a question. Ridaya dhyan karo. Meditate in your heart. Why should we meditate on the heart? Brahman is everywhere, God is everywhere. Here in the shrine I can meditate there. Why should I meditate on the heart? It is not my question, it is in the Upanishad. Ridhi manisha manasa viklipta jya vidu amritaste bhavanti. Ridhi manisha. Meditate in your heart. Why? What is that heart? So we had a long, long discussion. He was quoting Upanishad, I am quoting Upanishad. So, debate. Then started Dhauravidya from the Chandogya Upanishad. Osmin Brahmapure Dhauram Punjarikakam Punjarikaksham Veshma Dhaurasmin Dharasmin jad akasha, tusmin akasha jad tad anastebhya, tad vijigyashitebhya. Dhar means small, akasha means a space. In this heart chakra, there is a small space. In the lotus, in the heart chakra, there is a lotus. In that lotus, there is a small space. In that space, what is there in that space? That you must know. That you must inquire. That is in the Chandogya Upanishad, I think chapter 8. thing, you know, you see, a heart is very, very important thing. All feelings comes from the heart. Uncle, mind, you say, do you know what is our problem? Where is the position of the mind in the human body? Tell me. Mind goes outside, mind remains outside. Where is the mind? Some scripture says, Panchadashi says, Ridguloke avasthita, mind is in the heart chakra. Yoga Sutra says that mind is between the eyebrows. How will you reconcile? Two scriptures are contradicting between the two. Then, what is the mind? Sometimes sitting here right now, look, do you know what I am watching? I am watching Sri Ramakrishna's room in Dakshineshwar. 10,000 miles go away in the twinkling of an eye. Mind goes away 10,000 miles away. Again, it is in Kali Mandir, Laguna Beach. What is the mind? It's inside, outside. Do you know how does it work, this mind? You have a room. You have a house. In that house, you have a bedroom, you have a kitchen, you have a living room, you have many rooms in your house. Why do you sleep? Bedroom, that is your main room. So, we decided that mind is in the heart. Suppose I want to think something. At that time I started to, we pressed in the eyebrows, something must come out, you know. We think mind is here. Sri Ramakrishna also says, a bhru chakra, here is the mind. Thinking faculty is here. But mind, if I pinch here, immediately your mind will go there. If pinch here, mind will go there. Again, mind goes inside, outside. Where is the mind? So I have my own philosophy. I said, you say mind, resting, the place where you rest, that is the place, is the mind. Mind rests in the heart chakra. But when you function, it goes through the eyebrows. It is thinking. That Western people call it brain, you know? Mind is. Your mind is not working. That means your brain is working. Brain is an instrument. Mind is a subtle instrument. It works through the brain. That is, as my hand, you know, you cook through your hand. Hand does not, it is the mind which is cooking through the hand. Mind is just like an instrument. Anyhow, so we had a long discussion. There is in the city of Brahman an abode, the small lotus of the heart. Within it is a small space. Now what exists within that? That small space, that is to be sought after. That should be desired to understand. Anyhow, for the beginner, the heart is the physical organ, shaped like a lotus bud. But inside, there is a luminous city of Brahman. He realizes that the heart denotes not only physical organ, but the buddhi, which is the most refined part of the mind. One sees the reflection of Brahman in that buddhi, physical and psychical. Finally, he transcends both experiences, all-pervading consciousness, the image of the heart and the reflection in the buddhi becomes one with consciousness. Do you know how does it work? Mind is just like a camera. I'm focusing. And buddhi is just like a shutter. I press it. That is the way mind and buddhi works. Mind, you know, indecisive. I cannot see. Now the moment I see focused, I press it. That is buddhi, intellect. That is the way it works. You see, it is those who practice spiritual disciplines, it is very important to know the mind and how this mind and the buddhi, you know, both works. Sometimes, see, we used to sit there on the Krishna pond. He said, you know, today is very hot. Let me recite Modu Brahmano of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Then from San Francisco Bay, a cold wind will come. 90 miles away, Sacramento to San Francisco. So he started to recite. Iyam prithivi sarvesham bhutanam madhu. Asai prithivai sarvani bhutani madhu. In the madhu means honey, sweetness. This whole world is pervaded with sweetness, honey. In this way, he recited. Then all of a sudden, a little big tree and the leaf moved. Hey, look, 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 my mantra worked. My mantra is working, look. Look, those leaves are moving. My mantra is working. We had a lot of fun. The heart tells honey all beings, and all beings are the honey of the earth. Likewise, the bright immortal being who is in this earth and the bright immortal corporeal being who is in the body are both honey. These four are but the self. This air is the honey of all beings, and all beings are the honey of the air. In this way, water, fire, akasha, sun, moon, dharma, truth, mankind, all are saturated with honey. That is a section of Modhu Brahmana in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. In the Sacramento Center, and there is a big swimming club and the tennis club next to our property. So there are many, it is fir trees, is it not, Sarvamangala?
They're Italian cypress.
Yeah? Italian cypress. Large line of cypress trees. Then he used to tell me, those trees are ancient rishis of the Vedas. They are born in Sacramento and protecting our monastery from the club. Usha, you put some plants there so that the, you not get the sound of the dogs. He was quite sad. Then, sometimes he moved, you know. He said, a Raghunath Goswami, what is called love for the Guru? When Chaitanya passed away, he gave him a Shila, Govardhan Shila, to Raghunath. He was coming from a very rich home. Let me tell you a little. He told the Raghunath Goswami a story. He was the son of a very, very rich, wealthy person. But he had no desire for the world and money or enjoyment. He secretly went to Chaitanya, Gauranga, and wanted to be a disciple. You really want to be my disciple? Yes. Practice these four lines. Gramma bartha na kohibe, gramma katha na shunibe, bhalo na khaibe ar bhalo na poribe, amani manot krishna naam sadalabe, braja radha krishna seva manusha koribe. These four lines, my instructions to you, you go. Do not speak worldly vulgar things. Do not listen to worldly things. Do not seek good food, good clothing, good comfort. Be humble. Chant God's name all the time. And go to a holy place. And serve God. This is my instruction for you. So, what happened? He ran away. His father brought him back, put him in house arrest, arranged his marriage. You know, if you want to catch somebody, just arrange the marriage. Put a girl on the shoulder. That will bring him down in no time. So, under house arrest, cannot run away. What happened? One night, early in the morning, he asked his bodyguard, the temple is not open. Go I open the temple. Otherwise, I shall go by myself. The moment God went to open the temple, he ran away. He went to Puri, walking 300 miles. Daytime, he would hide in the forest, and nighttime, he used to walk. Otherwise, he will be caught again. In this way, he came. So his father was mad. His father said, no, his mother was mad. He said, this time if I get my son, I shall tie his leg with this iron chain. The father is telling, this immense wealth and this beautiful girl cannot bind him. Do you think iron chain will be able to bind my son? That story he told me. This beautiful girl and this immense wealth could not bind this boy. Do you think iron chain can bind him? He has so much renunciation. So this Raghunath Goswami, after Chaitanya's death, came to Vrindavan. If you can go Sham Kunj or Radha Kunj, still you can see his tomb where his body was buried. Raghunath Goswami. What he would do when Chaitanya died? This is called, he was telling how to do worship. He used to take that Govardhan Shila, and tears would come from his, just thinking of his Guru and Krishna, tears would come from his eyes. And with tulsi leaves, he used to hold the tears and put on that Shila, that emblem of Krishna. Shila, that was his worship. That is called real worship. Do you feel? Do you love? That he told me that story. Beautiful story. Then why another story he told me about Swami Vivekananda. He was then a brahmachari. He went with Vivekananda to Calcutta to a Shailendranath Banerjee, a barrister's, a lawyer's house. Swamiji was the guest of his father in Darjeeling. They are very rich people. So this rich man's house, Swami Vivekananda came and said, Maharaj, you talk about God, all those things are meaningless to us. We understand money. We understand achievement in life. Fulfillment in life. Those things we understand. We do not understand God. Swami Vivekananda said, whatever you believe, that is all right with you. But I have experienced the cosmic consciousness, Brahman. I have seen God. How can I deny it? The way he said that, he was a famous barrister in the Calcutta High Court. He just could not say a single word, became speechless. I have experienced. He was telling me that, you know, in spiritual life, experience is the most important thing. Reading, chanting, those are all external. The Swamiji says, religion means realization of God. His soul is potentially divine. The goal is to manifest this divinity by controlling nature, external or internal. Do this either by work, worship, or psychic control, by one or more, or all of these, and be free. This is the whole of all religion. That Swamiji said. Anyhow, that much for Swami Shraddhananda. Then I shall tell you. Swami Sarudeshananda. He wrote I came to know about him reading his book on Chaitanya Deva's biography. In 1977, first time I went to Vrindavan to see him. Few days I was there. A disciple of Holy Mother, he died in 1988. Still my age. Say, 14th September 1977, night, Vrindavan, Gopesh Maharaj. These questions I asked. Still, that paper is there. Mm-hmm. Oh, just see. 14, 1977. Funny. I asked him that, what did you see in Holy Mother? Nirobhiman. Mother had no ego. Human beings have egos, but God is egoless. That I saw in the Mother. Every morning, I used to see him. He had a bundle of cloth bundle of prayer books and an umbrella and walking. Went to the temple in front of Sri Ramakrishna. He will practice his japa and meditation. Then he will say prayer. He will pray Muslim prayer, Hindu prayer, Christian prayer, Jewish prayer, Buddhist prayer, then Zoroastrian prayers. Prayers of all religions he will repeat, recite in front of Sri Ramakrishna. Amazing sadhu. Holy Mother's disciple and Holy Mother's attendant. He has a book with Holy Mother's reminiscences. The Mother, as I saw him, it is translated into English also. I went to his room. Wooden cot, one blanket, one small pillow, and one or two clothes next, and there is a table fan, and a picture of Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother. So austere. Bare body. He ate with us in a small bowl, everything. He had only one tooth, but he never had any denture. Mother had no denture, so I should not have any denture. All food together, he will make it and mushy, and then he will swallow it. That's our food. One meal a day. Night time, he did not come to the shrine, to the kitchen. I think they should give him some milk. I still remember. So after meal, he will come to the library. That is the place where we have reading. So the monk asked Maharaj, will there be any class today? You did not ask Maharaj, will there be any meal today? Will there be any dinner today? That you did not ask. Regarding class, you say, will there be any class today? Mani, he was so particular about this type of thing. Then we had a long reading, and then he said, oh, we made a mistake, perhaps we could hear something from Chaitanyananda tonight. Anyhow, one thing he told, that is a beautiful thing he said, Asane sadhu bibore shap, that he told. When a snake is outside, you can kill that snake quickly. I remember when sometimes I used to go for a walk in Trubuko, some rattlesnake would come on the road because they are very cold-blooded. They used to get some heat from the pitch, from the paved road. In the evening, they used to get for heat. I used to walk over that rattlesnake. So, but if the snake is in the hole, you cannot kill so quickly. He was talking to us, Ashone Shadu. Ashon means
all strength of a snake comes from the hole. So all strength of a monk comes from his seat. Meditation cushion. That is the strength of a monk. Bibore asone sadhu, bibore shap. Oi ashon, seat, morning and evening. That ashon protects a monk's life. Long, beautifully he described that how it works. I gave three or four lectures only on Swami Sarodaya Sananda's reminiscences by his attendant. It was published in Bengal in Udbodhan. I gave that series of talk in my DVD. It's available in St. Louis. I do not have that book, so I cannot tell you all the stories I told. Somebody asked, some couple asked, Maharaj, have you seen God? I never asked. I never prayed for the vision of God. I did not feel any need either. But one thing I can tell you, by Mother's grace, I have experienced. And then, he told his attendant, please ask them to leave my room. My air pressure went to the top. You know, these people, their kundalini goes very fast, quickly. It went to the head. He lay down. Religion is realization. And desirelessness. He talked about the human desire. Upanishad used four words: Atmakama, Aptokama, Atmakama, and Purnakama, Akama. Atmakama means he only wants Atman, nothing else. Aptokama means all his desires are fulfilled. Nishkama means all of his desires are uprooted from the heart. Akama means his mind does not go outside for enjoyment at all. There are four ways. And he says, desirelessness. Then one day the two monks had fight. He asked his attendant, go, beg forgiveness from him. Maharaj, it is not my fault, it is his fault. I know it is his fault, but you are junior. You go and beg forgiveness. But Maharaj, I tell you, go beg forgiveness. Otherwise, you will lose your meditation. You will just, your meditation, your japa, everything will be disturbed. First, you reconcile. You know how Jesus said, before you offer food to the Lord, first reconcile with your brother. So he went. And when he begged forgiveness from the senior monk, he apologized, he hugged brother, if sometimes, you know, misunderstanding comes in. Immediately it was clear. I saw one day Swami Bodhatmananda in the dining table, dining hall in the balloon mat. We are serving, so one senior monk shouted, one of our brahmacharis, and our principal Swami told that senior Swami, don't think these boys are orphans, because he was the principal, he was our guardian. He gave us protection. Then he shouted, he raised his voice in the dining hall, which is very unusual. Next morning, I was there. Next morning, he went to that monk's room. He was the private secretary of Swami Sivananda, Gangeshananda. So Swami Bodhatmananda went and bowed down to him. Maharaj, last night I could not sleep, because I lost my temper. I have come to beg your forgiveness. Hare, hare, come, come. They were embracing each other. And for these things, even then he told me, if something, misunderstanding comes, try to settle same day. At least within 3 days, clear it. Don't carry it more than 3 days. Otherwise, your meditation, your mental peace will be disturbed. Always try to keep your mind calm, serene, peaceful, joyful. If you live, become a little smaller, this and that, it is the ego. Show your humility. He says, do you know why Hindu religion is so vibrant? He gave three reasons. There are many sadhu, mahatma are in this religion. Sadhu, great holy people and great souls, they are the living religions. They carry religion, they practice religion. So this religion is very vibrant. Second, festivals. You won't find any other religion so many festivals among the Hindus. Baromashe taro barbun. In 12 months, 13 festivals. There is a saying. So many festivals. Hey, Ganesha, Kali Mandir, all the time festivals. Excitement. And third thing he said that, and another thing, holy places. You see, in America, what is the holy place? Disneyland, Ringling Brothers Circus, then what is called the Universal Studio. These are the holy places. Oh, we have Banaras, we have Vrindavan, Haridwar, Rishikesh, Kedarnath, Badrinath, we have, you know, Narmada, we have so many, South India, so many holy places, all over India. That is the reason Hinduism is very vibrant. He was telling that, you know, and karma followed the God's faith in the God and the all-powerful, and he gives the dispenser of actions, all these things. He mentioned that why this religion. And what kind of religion Sri Ramakrishna preached? Eternal religion. Not only Hindu, so-called Hindu religion, eternal religion. Then he told the monks, you know, do you know you people want to preach Ramakrishna? No. Just lead your life according to Ramakrishna's ideal. That is a great preaching. Seeing you, people will learn who Ramakrishna was. Your purity, chastity, your renunciation, your love, your unselfishness, all these divine qualities of Ramakrishna, you must imbibe inside, samadhi. Then people will trust you. Yes, he is a true sadhu. He says, first, you let your life speak, not your speech. That he told the monks. And another thing he said, you see, Mahatma Gandhi came to Bangladesh, at that time East Bengal, 1947, heavy riots in Noakhali. Many Hindus are butchered by the Muslims. So what happened? Mahatma Gandhi went. At that time it was Pakistan. He went. Immediately, riot stopped. And Sharudeshananda, Mahatma Gandhi asked Sharudeshananda Maharaj, will you come every day at 2 o'clock to read the gospel of Ramakrishna in Bengali to me? Yes. Because Ramakrishna Mission was doing relief work there in Pakistan. So he came and read the gospel. Then again, Several days you came and read the gospel. Then one day he came, his secretary said, no, Mahatma Gandhiji is very busy today. So he left. Next day when he came, Swamiji, you did not come yesterday. Like came, your secretary asked me to leave because you were busy. Shh. He misunderstood. I could just stop all work just to listen to from you the gospel of Sri Ramakrishna in Bengali. That is a beautiful story of Mahatma Gandhi, how he was fond of the gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. His attendant said, after shower, he used to put a little Ganges water into his mouth, the dust of Vrindavan on his forehead. Then with a handkerchief, he used to wipe the pictures of Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swamiji. At that time, I used to watch him, his concentration. He was completely oblivious of outside world. Well, what do you do, Swami? You are old now, lay down in bed. I remember in 1986, most of the time he was lying down. Well, I practice my japa and meditation. Remaining time I think about Mother and the divine play of Sri Ramakrishna. And sometimes I read Chonji Bhagavat. Then he said, the life of a monk is a great teaching for others. Then a monk wants to go to Uttarkashi for practicing austerity. Before you go, you read Shadok Bhava of the Lila Prasanga. That Ramakrishnanji's divine play, second volume, where Sri Ramakrishna practiced various kinds of spiritual disciplines. Read that section, then you go to the Himalayas. Then you will know what you are supposed to do there. How to practice sadhana, learn from the master. A woman was looking at him. What are you seeing? Maharaj, I am just seeing what a Anandamay Purush, what a blissful man you are. I am just watching your face. Your inside is full of bliss and peace. When we come to you, we get same kind of peace and bliss, just watching your face. Then he said, read Chaitanya's life. There you will find my life is depicted there. Then that lady asked Maharaj, how can we achieve that state? Could you teach us? Blissful, peaceful state when I see your face. Could you teach us how to do it? Oh, very easy. What? Be desireless. Be desireless. No desire. Be desireless. That will bring you this state. No desire. Which time is over or what?
No, I'm making the microphone close. Okay. We're going to raise the microphone a little bit.
Charitra, character. Nitya. When I went to Belur Math, I asked one Swami that we need some monks in America, good monks. Well, what kind of monk do you need in America? I call them with three pa. Povitra, premik, pandit. Pure, loving, and scholarly. That I mentioned. Character is the most important thing in spiritual life. Practice sadhana, spiritual disciplines daily. Study the scriptures. That is the basic things of the monastic life in the spiritual life. he quoted, gaining which one thing there is no greater gain, and where in established one is not moved even by the heaviest of sorrow. He was talking about his own life. Yang labdhva chaparam labham mannate nadikam tata yasmin sthito dukhi na na guru na pivichalate. When you achieve that stage, that even the greatest sorrow, misery, will not be able to perturb you. Achieve that state. He was talking about his about his spiritual life and how to attain, whether your life is successful or not. How do you know? Etabad janma safallam dehinam ihodehishu pranui arthui dhiya vacha shreya evam acharet sada. It is in the Bhagavatam. Whether your life is successful or not, how do you know? How to achieve that success? His Bhagavatam says, devote your heart and soul. Pranui, prana means energy. Arthui, money. Dhiya means intellect. Vacha, speech. Use these four things to help human beings. Then you will find fulfillment in life. That means they will be completely unselfish. Serve others, love others. Then you will find fulfillment in life. Most people are selfish. Then he told one story about Swami Brahmananda. It was in 1910. Maharaj, they are in Konkal. At that time, there are some thatched hut, no building in Konkal. All of a sudden, a big wild elephant entered the monastery and eating our vegetable garden. And it was noontime. Maharaj asked all the monks, don't talk, keep quiet. Kiyakwara, don't make any noise. Then elephant ate all the vegetables and then again left. Maharaj said, you see, if you would make noise, that elephant would be angry and will break this thatched hut and broke it and just ruin everything. Don't make noise. He said, Maharaj said that, Swami Brahmananda. He told another story. There is a monk, he was a doctor, Purnananda. Swami Brahmananda said, you repeat, you are my disciple, you repeat, you are mother's disciple, I think. I don't remember whose disciple. You repeat 10,000 mantra every day. But if you make any mistake, then you start from the very beginning. Otherwise, a she-ghost, no, an ogress will swallow all your mantra. So he was scared. He was repeating mantra. If he count is wrong, so again begins from the again beginning. And you know, he was in Udbodhan, and he sometimes does not come for supper. Dinner, so Golappa was shouting and yelling, I cannot hold this monk's food. Then Holy Mother called him. My son, why don't you come for dinner time when everybody comes? Mother, Maharaj told me to repeat mantra 10,000 times without any mistake, and if I make any mistakes, my mantra will be eaten by a rakshasi, an ogress. So I cannot, without finishing the mantra, I cannot come. Mother laughed. You know, you boys, restless. Rakhal frightened you that way so that you will be very mindful. So, don't mind, my son. When the bell is rung, please come and have your dinner, and then you start mantra again. Rakhal frightened you so that you will be mindful. 10,000 mantram without any mistake. He was cautioning about his spiritual life. You are working on the sharp edge of a razor. One mistakes may ruin your life. In our country, there is a saying, Atmundud, money, a huge quantity, a big barrel of milk, very nutritious food, milk. But if there is one drop of urine of a cow, drops into the milk, whole milk will break. Just one drop will destroy the whole jar of milk. So he was telling, human character should be just good, perfect. Your own mistakes may ruin your whole life. He was telling these monks, be careful about your spiritual life. If necessary, reduce your work. Practice more japa and meditation. Some people may sit long times in the shrine, but that is not a real sign of a spiritual advancement. You will have to develop love. There was a rich man who made a lot of money during the First World War. Swami Brahmananda told him, now give this, you have plenty of money, now think about God, your time is limited. Give all responsibility to your children. Now dive deep into your inside and practice spiritual discipline. Otherwise, day and night thinking about money is not good. What will you carry with you? You see, sometimes in the Upanishad says, when we depart from this world, what goes with us? Four things. The three things will go with us. Vidya, karma, purva prajna. Yajnavalkya said to Garki, these are the, sage, what does go with us when we die? Vidya, knowledge, wisdom. Which you have gathered in this life, they will go with you. Karma, good and bad, what you have done, that will go with you. Purva parigya, your samskaras, past impressions will go with you. Anyhow, I had a great privilege to be with him in 1977 and 1986. I used to go and sit near him and talk. What a great Swami. Up to this tonight, I covered two Swamis, Shraddhananda and Swami Sarvadeshananda. Many other Swamis will come one after another. Om Niranjanam Nittam Anantarupam Bhaktanukampadrita Vigraham Vai Ishavataram Parameshamijam Tam Ramakrishnam Shirasanamam.